clap of praise this morning. Yes, Lord Jesus, we worship you. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just welcome everyone to the service. Got a lot of visitors with us, and we're so glad to have you. Hope you'll just put your voice in there and give God some glory. Amen. Why don't we sing that song? Got it written down here. Got so many notes around. I'd like to sing that song, "We Fall Down, We Lay Our Crowns at the Feet of Jesus." Amen. You ready to lay your crowns at Jesus' feet? Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Amen. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Can we cry, holy, holy, holy? We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of my Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Why don't we sing that song, "Shout to the Lord"?
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mind. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Oh, let every breath, all that I am, oh, never cease to worship. Love you. top again now. Hallelujah. My Jesus, my shelter. Oh Lord, none like you. All of my days, oh, I want to pray the wonders of your mighty love.
Amen.
My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Oh, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Let's just praise him. Oh, shout to him. Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stay. Promise I have. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth let us see. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your.
Lord Jesus. Let's give him another hand of praise. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. As we change the order of the service, the musicians play something softly. Have several needs to bring before the church. You may be seated for just a moment. A few announcements to make as well. We have a lot of folks out sick and due to this virus that's going around. Man, we want to remember the Brother Tom and Sister Kim. Ward, they're sick today. We want to remember them in prayer. We want to remember the Swafford family. They were not able to be with us today as well. We want to remember Sister Frida Drum. She's very sick and requesting prayer. Man, we want to remember Sister Jessica Coffey as well. I believe she is dealing with this virus. We want to remember her. God, to give her a touch in her body. Brother David and Karen are not with us today. I believe Sister Karen is sick. Brother Wayne and Sister Faye as well are not feeling well. They've got the sickness in their body, needing a healing touch from the Lord. I want to remember Sister Mary Smith. She is sick as well. Sister Carol Henley is not with us today. We want to remember her in prayer. I believe Sister Angie Pritchard is traveling and not with us today. Oh, Sister Angie is here. I'm sorry. So, also, we want to remember Brother Ron Knobloch's mother-in-law in prayer. He said that she fell the other day and fractured her pelvis. So, we want to remember her anytime. Falls, it's a very
serious thing, especially if they fracture a bone or something like that. So let's pray God would give her a healing touch in her body. Amen. Just to remember those special needs, I have one announcement to make here. This is a welcoming card for Sister Annie Grace. And it's a baby shower for Sister Kristen Godwin. And, it says, please join us for the shower honoring Sister Kristen Godwin and her sweet baby girl. It'll be on Sunday, February the 11th, immediately following the morning service. It'll be at the Pritchard House. We all know where that is, just down the road here. Lunch will be provided. RSVP as soon as possible. You can do that in the library there. And they're asking, due to the limited space, if the dads could watch the children, that would be helpful. Amen. Brother Larry, would you be prepared to take these before the Lord? Why don't we sing that song as Brother Larry prepares to come? Let's all stand. What is that? By the uplifting of hands. Amen. God knows the need. Just hold those before your heart. Amen. Brother Larry.
Let's all pray together. I want you to remember my wife, too. She's been having a lot of problems with her hip. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come out on this day, Lord. And I know it's raining outside, Lord, but we're not worrying about the rain on the outside. We're worrying about the rain on the inside, Lord. We just ask you to come down and anoint each person who's come out today, Lord. And each hand that was raised, Lord, you see it. Lord, just grant whatever the need may be. We just plead the blood that shed on Calvary's cross, Lord. We know that's the only thing we can depend on in this day, because we're living in a serious day. And our Lord, we never know when we're going to go leave this world, Lord. We just ask to bless our speaker today and anoint him. Whatever he has to say, Lord, just reveal it to our hearts. May we act upon what we hear and do what we can, Lord. We give you praise and glory for everything that's accomplished today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Larry, man, we have several specials today. I want to give ample time for all these. You may be seated. I believe we have Brother Keith has a special for us. If he would be prepared to come and give that special for us. We appreciate Brother Keith and his family and their musical talent. Amen.
And to those of you that weren't able to make it last night, I tell you, you really missed a tremendous blessing. They sung a song last night that just, we hadn't done this song in a long time, but it just really, it really brought it to my mind, talking about the conversation. You know, it's so wonderful to know that that same power that raised Christ from the dead is also, if we go by way of the grave, it's going to quicken our bodies. And we will live again over on the other side.
If some morning I am gone from this vale of tears, I'm going home to live again. I am going on a trip when I say goodbye.
I'll
never get over on the other side.
I'll see and shout
with a mighty angel band.
You'll see me rise
beyond the starry skies.
I'll get
over on the other side. I've a mansion over there, built in beauty rare.
I'm going
home to live again. If they lay me in the grave, don't you weep for me.
I'll get
over on the other side.
I'll leave again
over on that golden strand.
I'll see and shout
with a mighty angel band.
You'll see me rise
beyond the starry skies.
I'll get
over on the other side.
I'll see and shout
with a mighty angel band.
You'll see me rise
beyond the starry skies.
I'll get
over on the other side.
I'm going to live again over on that golden strand.
I'll see and shout
with a mighty angel band.
You'll see me rise
beyond the starry skies.
Dear Lord Jesus, amen. Appreciate that wonderful song. Amen. I believe Brother Mitchell and Sister Sarah Vasaki and Sister Ashley also have a special. So if y'all get prepared to sing that, we're going to sing one while they're getting prepared. Victory is mine. Amen. We'll just continue on that same note.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine, victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, victory today is mine. When I woke this morning, I didn't have a doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees, said, Lord, help me please. Got up singing, shouting, victory. Victory is mine, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me.
Appreciate that beautiful song. Let's all stand as our deacons come forward, take up our morning offering. We'll just let Brother Barry has a few announcements and things to make, so we'll change the order of the service. Amen. Brother Mike Pritchard, would you lead us in prayer? Let's sing that song, This Is My Desire.
This is my desire to honor you. For with all my heart, I worship. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. From the top now, amen. Oh, this is my desire to honor you.
Amen.
I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul, Lord, I live for you alone, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way. Sing it one more time now, let's just worship him this morning. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Praise the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're honored to have all of you today. And we're missing several folks, and we certainly want to hold them up in prayer today. Several are listening by way of the internet this morning, and some of those folks that are listening are very sick, and so we want to certainly remember them in prayer this morning. Let me get through a couple of quick announcements, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Paul and the family here because we don't want to delay. We are only going to have one service today, and we want to make the most of it, but we are going to have just one service, and it'll give you a chance to kind of get out of the public arena today. And they're actually closing schools tomorrow in the state of North Carolina and in Tennessee. Sorry, homeschoolers. Because of the, they're trying to contain the flu in this area, so don't assume that's your school until somebody tells you. But that was on national news this morning that they're closing schools in several states in order to try to contain things. So you'll need to check that out. Homeschoolers, if you want a note to get off school tomorrow, you just come and see me after church, and I will give you a note. No problem at all. I'll take care of that for you. April 19th to the 21st is the Father-Son Campout, so you guys need to save the date for that one. Tax forms are in the library. They're in they're there. Sister Frieda is not here. Sister Frieda is quite sick, and we sure want to remember her in prayer this morning. But Sister Sarah's put those in the library, so you need those. And if we don't get them to you today, we'll just mail them first thing tomorrow morning. Our marriage banquet is on February 10th. Brother Reagan is going to be speaking. And we have limited seating, and it's filling up. So I'm going to encourage you folks that assume that there'll be lots of seating. You need to act on that quickly and get in there because we just have a limited amount of space. So we would ask you to be mindful of that. We also want to remember Jeremy and Lydia Clayville, who are not here today. They're feeling better, but they're not here today, and they just wanted to minimize the possibility of spreading any sickness today, so we want to remember them in prayer. They were not on the list this morning. Brother Anwar and his family also, we want to remember them. They're going through a bit of a transition, and they're looking at possibly moving back next month, and so we want to remember them in prayer for sure. Good to have the Swaffords here today. We've missed you and been praying for you. Good to have you today. The other need that I wanted to mention was Brinley Hughes. That's Sister Karen's granddaughter. Brinley has been sick. The whole family has been sick. Sister Faye, of course, contracted the influenza first, and then Brother Wayne, who had the heart cath. He was scheduled to go for heart cath tomorrow, but had chest pains severe enough that they put him in the hospital, brought him up on Thursday, right? Wednesday. And they decided to go ahead and do the heart cath and kept him overnight there. Sister Faye went home during that time as she was not feeling well. Brother Wayne is also not feeling well. And then Sister Karen, who was with them during the whole time, she is feeling quite sick, so she's actually staying down at Wayne and Faye's house. But Karen's granddaughter, Brinley Hughes, has developed a UTI. She's sick. She has seasonal flu, but she developed a UTI. The problem with that is that she can't hold down any antibiotics, and so it's just getting progressively worse, and they're talking about hospitalizing her today. And that's a big deal at this particular point because there's just not any space left in these in the hospitals at all. And so I told her this morning that we would sure hold her up in prayer especially, and just ask that the Lord would undertake. And for all the needs, Tom and Brother Tom and Sister Kim, just having a real rough few days here, so we sure want to hold them up in prayer. If you don't mind, let's stand to our feet, and let's just have a special word of prayer for those that are sick this morning. And special needs among us here. let's sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. Let's just sing that one time, and then we'll look to Him in prayer.
Have Your Way.
Together, but as we pray, I want you to hold your need before Him this morning. If there's anything at all in your heart, somebody you know, somebody's hurting, whatever your need it is, just lift it before Him this morning. Heavenly Father, our hands are raised around the building this morning, and we've mentioned several needs, and no doubt, Lord, we didn't perhaps name them all. But Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with confidence because this is your will. It's your will for us to cast our cares upon you because we know you care for us. Lord, we think of how Brother Branham stood one day and an angel told him that nothing would stand before his prayer, not even cancer, if he could get the people to believe. We today profess that we are believers in your word. We walk in the light of this hour and we believe your word, Lord. And so therefore, there really should be no hindrance at all to the moving of the Holy Spirit. So we bind every need together, every hand that's raised, every heart that's bowed out there in the listening world, Lord. And we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would move among us and move among them, Lord. And I pray that you're not hindered by distance or time or circumstances at all. Lord, we lift these needs before you this morning, and with confidence we approach your throne of grace and ask that your healing virtue would flow, and that, Lord, you would protect us. Protect all of those, Lord, who are just maybe struggling today, and, Lord, reaching out to you, Lord Jesus, for that protection, maybe making decisions, whatever it is, Lord, and several, Lord, who need your healing touch, we pray for them. Lord, we think of little Brinley this morning, and we hold her up in prayer together and ask in the name of Jesus Christ that that sickness would be stayed. We curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. And ask, dear God, that you would just allow that little child to recover, Lord. May you just turn that situation around as only you can as a great physician. And, Father, we commit her into your care now. We ask, Lord Jesus, that her healing would be a testimony that would resound to the glory of God. Meet every need, Lord, I pray. Touch every heart, every body. And, Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And for your glory, we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated again. Sorry to have you up and down here, but we're going to do a baby dedication this morning. Aaron, Darren, give me a microphone there if you will. And years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, Cameron, we baptized you. How many years ago was that? Do you remember? Been a while. About 5 years ago. And Cameron's been living over in Happy Valley and attending over there a little bit. And so she's with us today, and a lot of her family members. And she has had two little boys, and we're going to dedicate them this morning and pray for them and dedicate them to the Lord. So as they come, and whoever's going to come this morning, we'll invite you to come on here now, and let's sing just as they're coming up here this morning. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Here today that we can pray for and honor to be able to commit them to the Lord. And really, that's the very best thing that we can do, especially at the beginning of their lives on this earth, is to pray that God would bless them and protect them and watch over them. And these two guys are growing like weeds. They seem to be doing fine. Who had the operation? Josiah had the heart operation and seems to be doing just fine. So we're very thankful for that. So we have Josiah Matthew today and Malachi Joel, and they're very sound biblical names, and we just trust that they will follow that example in the Scripture. So let's read the story out of the book of Mark, chapter 10. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. We're going to pray for them today, and I'm not going to try to balance two of these guys, all right? But I'll tell you what, I'll see if I can hold their hand, all right? Would that be all right? And because I'm not an acrobat, and I think that might be the safest way if you guys hold on to them, all right? We consider little children coming into the world as God's way of saying life goes on. Life goes on. And we don't know how long life's going to go on. We have a whole lot of Bible verses that tell us that we're living near the end time. And yet God blesses us with new life that comes into the earth. And that's just God's decision. That's just God's way. But in the remaining time that we have left on this earth, you as a family unit and all of you who are involved in the affairs of these children and of Cameron, you need to be mindful of the fact that these guys need all the help they can get. They need to be brought up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord to love him and serve him. And the very, very best way that that will happen is that you lead them by example. Not by your words. Your words will help, but they're only supplementary to your lives. Your lives are what's going to matter. So it begins now, and it begins in a very real way to help set an example for these guys, set an atmosphere in your home, and Cameron, for you to have a whole bunch of patience and wisdom in doing this, because there is probably no harder job in the world than single parenting. And so we not only pray for them, but we pray for you. And we pray for the family unit around you. And you have us. And you have the Lord. And that's what's really, really important. So your life, your lives are going to have a great impact on these kids. And so you need to be mindful of that. This is to me, it's an important beginning for them, because they've got their natural life. But we want to pray that the Holy Spirit now blesses them and leads them and guides them, and that the angels of the Lord will encamp around about them, because that's what they need in this world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would bless these two young boys. They have great names. They're named after great men in the Bible, men that did great things, Lord. Their testimonies were strong and their voices were powerful in the earth. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that despite the troubles that they have already faced in life, that, Lord, you would bless them richly and abundantly in this life. Lord, you would lead them and guide them. And, Lord, you would make them also great young men that live and stand for the kingdom of God. We pray, Lord, for Cameron, and ask you, Lord Jesus, now to give her strength and wisdom and a whole lot of patience, Lord, because they will try her. But, Lord Jesus, nothing is like a mother's heart. And I pray, dear God, that you would just give her that wisdom that she will need. Bless this family together, Lord, this family unit and all those who are involved in helping these young boys and helping Cameron. We just ask, dear God, that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate deep into their hearts, Lord, and just bring them to the cross continually, that, Lord Jesus, they may walk in truth and walk in light. I commit them to you, Lord. Pray, dear God, that your hand of mercy would be upon them, and, Lord, you would lead them and guide them. Make them strong, I pray, and lead them to the cross. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you. Amen. God says life goes on. Life goes on. Have your way. We're going to invite Brother Paul to come. They're going to sing just a little bit for us. We had a wonderful evening last night, and there was almost 300 people or so who were there over in Newton, and we just enjoyed just an evening of worship and singing, and it was just really nice. I felt bad that we had a lot of people in our own assembly who were not feeling well and would love to have been there. But for those who were there, it was a wonderful evening and a nice time of fellowship. And so family's going to be taken off this afternoon right after service, and we're going to have Brother Paul and Sister Rebecca for a couple of days. Great to have the Wades with us today from Johnson City, Sister Rebecca's mother and father today. Maurice, Abel is on the crew that's going to build our fellowship hall. You know that? Abel, stand up over here, buddy. There's a target on your back. All right, you can sit down, Abel. Now, if people don't want to shake your hand after church, I'll explain why later on, okay? I'm only joking. We're glad to have you and Maurice here today, and may the Lord richly bless you. And the construction crew told us that the snow backed everything up, and so, you know, anyway, they're coming. And you don't need to ask me and Ben anymore. Ask Abel over there, buddy. He's going to set up a little desk in the lobby after church, and you can talk to him. Brother Paul, have your way.
Good morning. God bless you all. Thank you for those who came out last night. It was a wonderful evening of worship, and we appreciate your confidence in us and your invitation to come and providing a place for us to sing. And so we thank you very much. Gabby's going to sing first here, my daughter, and she's going to sing a song that's been very inspiring to her just recently. She went through a few things a few months ago at school that were trying for a 15-year-old. And this is the song that inspired her and gave her something from the Lord after that. So I think this will be a blessing to you this morning, as it was a blessing to her.
I needed you. You were that you carried far too long. Just strengthen your life with His good news. There is a
praise the Lord, you believe that this morning? Aren't you glad to have a Savior? I'm going to sing one more. It's a chorus. I don't know if I've taught it here yet, but I've been singing it a little bit. And I'm sure you'll catch on real quickly, and we'll sing this before we minister today in the Word.
Shalom, shalom, we are chorus with me. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Peace and good morning.
Peace and good morning.
He's on the throne.
He's on the throne.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
We are almost home. Praise the Lord.
Say that every time I have the opportunity when they're around.
I have my mom and dad, but I'm blessed with another mom and dad, and I love you guys very much. Appreciate their stand for the message through the hours and the days. And sometimes people you don't know very much and don't know their names, but they have their rewards for standing for truth on the other side just as much as anybody else. Can you say amen? And so we appreciate them, love them, and good to have my wife and family. And I know on behalf of the family, we've appreciated their singing and just taking the sacrifice of this weekend to be with you. And thank you so much for your open invitation. Thank you, Brother Barry, for just having us this morning as well to speak. And yes, it's true, Brother Barry, you are not an acrobat. That is for sure. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 6, and starting at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. How many know that we're not like other Gentiles? We are Gentiles, but we're not like other Gentiles. We're not from their kingdom. We're from another kingdom now. And so we don't function and we don't keep a mindset of the Gentiles anymore. That's what we were, but now we're Christians. Can you say amen? We're believers. So we cannot function in everyday life and think like Gentiles of the whole generation. God has brought us into something different. But after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But verse 33 is the familiar scripture to all of us. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here with Brother Barry and the congregation. We are a family now. We feel we have many friends here and just have a connection. And though I'm not here maybe but once a year, we still feel very much at home. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. May you receive glory for the singing and for the singing this morning and just all that has taken place. And we pray there for these that are sick, that you will restore them, that you'll bring healing, even while the word is being preached today. May you bring healing for the ones who are sick, and may you bring protection from sickness to those that are sitting here. We just commit the service to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I sure enjoyed the music here. It's real good, and the musicians. I was proselyting in the office and trying to get the band to join us on the road for the Jubilee tour. And then the pastor's wife walked in and caught what I was doing, and the pastor, and they nipped that in the bud right away. Praise the Lord. We're going to speak a little bit this morning on Seek Ye First the Kingdom. And I don't have to take much time in explaining the context of something that you've read so many times before of Jesus' words here. But we always want to make sure we understand what Jesus is saying. And often when we read something a lot, then we tend to let it go in one ear and out the other because we've heard it so much and we think we understand it. And so I like to go back to those things because when I go back, I realize I don't understand it as deeply as I need to. And so a statement like, seek ye first the kingdom of God is very well-known words amongst believers and Christians everywhere that we should seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto us. How many want to make sure this morning that you're truly seeking first the kingdom? Amen. Seeking first the kingdom. And so I would just say this, that we are blessed when we speak about the kingdom. The kingdom has come to us through the message of the hour. The kingdom has come back to His people. And we have His kingdom. Jesus walked 2,000 years ago, and He had the kingdom within Him, and He was bringing the kingdom. And then we know when it was given to the people on the day of Pentecost, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we see over time that Satan began to take away the kingdom from the people through his creeds and dogmas and went into darkness and the dark ages. And so there had to be another restoration of the kingdom. And Revelations 5 is a clear evidence that we've received the kingdom back to us again. Because when that book was open of redemption, when the seals were ripped off of that book, then the terminology that is used, that the effect upon that book coming to us, is that He hath made us kings and priests. That's kingdom language. Can you say amen? So that kingdom coming to us through the word being open is going to make us into something. Can you say amen? We're going to be seen that we're royalty, but we're going to begin to feel the effects of the Spirit and the kingdom working so much within us that we start functioning with the kingdom working in us instead of the kingdom of this world. So when we look at these things, we see Jesus in the text. He is, his whole purpose in saying, seek ye first the kingdom, is that he's addressing the issue of worry and fear. He's addressing the issue of worry and fear. Being worried and fearful in our thoughts. And that's important because I think probably everybody here has issues and problems sometimes with worry and fear in your thoughts. You know, it's one thing to be fearful of something that's happened. And it scares you. Can you say amen? But Jesus really isn't talking here about something that's happened and we're scared or we're afraid. He's actually talking about a fear that the devil works in. And that is that it's a fear of something that hasn't happened yet. It's a fear that hasn't, it's the fear of tomorrow. It's the fear of things that may come. It's the fear, in this case, he says, of what am I going to eat tomorrow? It's the fear of what's going to happen 5 years from now? Or what am I going to be clothed? And how am I going to take care of things? And so it hasn't happened yet. God has always provided for us, but yet Satan works in the kingdom of causing you to be fearful in your thoughts about what tomorrow holds. That is not God's kingdom. Can you say amen? That is always Satan's kingdom, and Satan's line of thought is to get you fearing something that hasn't even happened yet. And we need to be settled in our faith to realize that whatever happens tomorrow, if we have a lack of something, that our God is big enough, He's going to provide it. Whatever comes tomorrow, my God is able to take care of us. But we got to hold on that today while we're having Satan fight our thoughts. We got to hold on to a peace and a shalom today. Can you say amen? And so the fear of the future, the worry over food and clothing in this case, the fear of the future, the fear of tomorrow. And when he says these words 3 or 4 times, take no thought what you shall eat. Take no thought of tomorrow. He's saying take no thought, and that doesn't mean though that we don't think about it. He's not saying don't ever think about that. Don't think about the future. Don't think about it. He's not saying don't think about it. But what he's saying is when you say take no thought, what he means is that the thoughts that are laden with fear, thoughts that have fear attached to them, and thoughts that dominate us, and I want to talk about this a little bit this morning, that thoughts, our thought life is really who we are. Our thought life, what we're thinking about every day on a daily basis, is really our dominant thoughts. Because how many knows that people can have a dominant thought? And their dominant thought is what drives them and can affect their emotions and it can affect their day. And can affect your spiritual life. It can affect how close you feel to the Lord. What is your dominant thought? What dominates your thought life? And there's always really one thing, especially if we have pressures coming or something like that. That thing gets into people's life and that becomes the dominant thought of life. And a lot of times it's a fear. It's a scare, can you say, man? It's trying to think through tomorrow and think through so we can protect ourselves from certain things. And Jesus is saying, if that becomes the dominant thought, that is not where we are supposed to live as believers, as these other fears dominating our thought life. And that's why he says, take no thought of that. So now,
If he meant for us not to even think about tomorrow, then that conflicts with other scriptures that and other places in the Bible that lead us and teach us to plan for the future. And Proverbs refers to the ant who gathers in the winter so he can be prepared. The prudent man foresees the coming evil and he prepares for it. So if Jesus was saying, don't even think about tomorrow, don't think about it at all, that's not what he's saying, because the other scriptures say we are to plan. We are to think about. We're to lay things out, all with the Lord's help and his inspiration and his leadership. So he's not saying don't think about tomorrow. He's saying the thoughts that are dominated and saturated with fear of tomorrow, a believer should not be living with that dominant thought. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I have anybody's number here this morning. I don't know if I'm speaking to you at all, but I know I'm preaching to myself. If nobody gets anything out of this today, I'll get something out of it. I'll probably be at the altar myself first, repenting. Because too much in my life do I let things dominate the day of my thoughts. And if it really dominates, then you start ignoring your children and ignoring other the more important things and ignoring the word and ignoring other things that you should be given priority. But the dominant thought has taken over and you let that consume your thoughts. Maybe a child has gone wayward, or maybe there's pressure. A lot of times grandparents, we think, well, after the kids are gone out of the house, all the pressures are off, all the worry of them, they can take care of themselves. No, a lot of times they tell me that's when some of the stress really begins. After they get out of the house, because you're still carrying the burdens of your children. And so these things, so much we could talk about in these things, but you see now the thought life is what he's talking about. And there's always something in our life that Satan uses to distract our thoughts. There's always something that he uses to dominate our thinking time. And this is the way of the Gentiles, Jesus said. This is the way a people function that are without God, or at least without God being first in their life. This is how they live every day. This is what they seek. They are dominated by fleshly, earthly things, not just seeking it, but seeking it with fear and with worry. They're managing their entire life through the motive of fear. They're planning for tomorrow, and their child rearing and everything has the motivation of fear. They're making decisions not based upon the leadership of the Lord, but based upon their fears. Maybe something has happened in their life, so now they're going to protect their children from that happening in their children's life. And protection for parents is great. It's wonderful. We're supposed to do that. But if it's motivated by fear, we believers are not to live by any fear. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith, whatever it is sin to us. We must live by faith as our motive for everything that we do. Praise the Lord. So now they're seeking it out of fear. All they think about is this. All they think about is possessions. All they think about is the money they have in their bank. All they think about is that planning for this. There's no God in it at all. There's no leadership of the Holy Ghost. That's their mindset of the world, being consumed by it. And so the food and the clothing and the family issues going on. I'm going to mention some other dominant thoughts. And this can come in your lives as well. Somebody hurt you years ago. Somebody hurt your feelings. Somebody offended you. And sometimes in people's life, it was years ago. And it's amazing to me to see people that had something that happened years ago. And when you sit and talk to them, it's still the dominant thought. It's consuming them. You may try to get them to talk about something else and, oh, that was a good service today. But when it really push comes to shove, they're right back to their dominant thought. And that's somebody hurt them years ago. And they live their life defeated in fear because they allow that to become their dominant thought. Anybody listening here this morning? And Jesus instructs us that we're not to live that way. Someone hurt them. Somebody does something wrong. Fear dominates. They never trust anybody. If something comes up in your life, it begins to dominate your thoughts in anxiety. And it becomes the main thing that you talk about and think about. And to let you know you're living below this, to bring this way this morning, I want to let you know that you're living, when you live in that mindset and let those things dominate your thinking, you're living below where you could be living as a Christian and as a believer. You're living below where you could be living as a Christian, and Jesus tells us that there. So there's something that dominates all of us, something that motivates all of us, and it's in our thought life. And I'll just say this, I think we should grow up and grow up as believers, and I don't think our dominant thoughts in life should be sports. If that affects anybody, you just listen to me, because I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think a believer's dominant thought life should be sports. And what teams are playing and knowing all the team players' names and being consumed with it. I just think there's something imbalanced about that. And how do I know it? Because the Bible tells me that not as the Gentiles do, that's how they function in life. That's their dominant thought. It consumes their lives. And so I don't think sports should be our dominant thinking. I don't think our job should be our dominant thought. Your job is to make a living, do your best, and do it as unto the Lord. But your job is not your dominant thing in life. Your job is a sideshow from the main thing. And the main thing is the kingdom of God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Your job is not the prominent thing in life. So you get around people and it's that's all they talk about. They're consumed by it. It's their dominant thought. They're saturated with their job and what happens wrong there and what happens right there and what happens with their employer and how their employer treats them. That cannot be our dominant thinking. Why? Because that's how the Gentiles think. Praise the Lord. I don't think that our possession should be our dominant thinking. I don't think the latest movies should be our dominant thinking and our dominant conversation. What a shame that we have a thought life that we've become consumed with looking forward to the next thing that comes out. I don't think that should be a believer's dominant thought. Can you say amen? Very few times, very few. Something comes out like in Brother Brown's day of Ten Commandments, and it's very few, like a less than 1% of something that's produced by this world that has some good intent to it. There's very small percentage of what can be viewed by believers in this hour. Can you say amen? If you're really truthful about it, there's very few things that's not going to taint your mind and taint your image and taint your children's image. We're living in a kingdom of this world that there's nothing hardly good that comes out of Hollywood or anywhere else. So, but I can watch it and it doesn't affect me. The devil's lying to you. Because you got a human mind, like you got a mind and you got an emotion, you got a body just like the rest of the world in that way. But you got a Holy Spirit that's within you that makes it different. So it's controlled. Your thoughts are controlled. So now you put yourself in front of something that influences your thoughts and plant seeds in your mind. You don't think you're going to be affected by that? You're going to be affected by it. I don't think that we should the latest movies, the latest video games, my dear brothers and young brothers. I don't think that should be the dominant thing in our life. It's become such a dominant thing in people's lives and married men's lives that you can preach on it all you want to. And they are not going to give up those video games. They're not going to pull themselves away. That's become the dominant thing in their life. And so much so they don't want to go to work. They want to support their families. I've watched it firsthand. Can you say amen? It's because they're living like other Gentiles. I don't think that the latest gossip on social media should be our dominant thinking. Thank you. Thank you for the amens. I don't think that the latest gossip on social media and keeping up with all the latest things and keeping up with all the latest fashions and how the movie stars dress and live and what's the next thing and keeping up with the Kardashians and keeping up with all that they're doing and all that's happening on social media and all that's happening within the message, and you talk to people and they stay up on all the latest beef or the latest scoop on what's going on over here and what's gone over there and this church and this pastor and what he's doing and everything else. And it becomes just the addictive thing that's consuming our thoughts all the time. What's going on here? What's going on there? And I'll just tell you, that's how the Gentiles function, because they don't yield to the Lord to give something greater to think about. And that's the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. I'll go ahead and say it because I'm not in my own church. Some people get a beef against the pastor and it becomes their dominant thought in life. And they can't get over it. What's he doing? Where's he going? What's taking place? What's going on? And so now they miss what the kingdom of God is really doing because they become distracted by something very crazy. Can you say amen? And that is letting you say, it's not that you don't think about those things, but when it becomes your dominant thought, it shows up sometimes in your conversation, shows up in your gossip. Can you say amen? And let me just tell you something. If you're consumed with what that pastor's doing and all the church problems, if you're consumed by that, I want to tell you, you've stopped seeking the kingdom of God. You've stopped. You're not seeking the kingdom, and yet you go to a church that's seeking the kingdom, but you're not seeking the kingdom anymore. Because that's not the kingdom of God. Amen, Brother Paul. Amen. Glory. I'll lighten up here in a minute. Some people are dominated by fear. I felt cheated that I was raised in the home with some holiness standards. I feel cheated of that. I felt I got cheated out of a lot of things that I wanted to go do. So now I refuse to be held back from those things. I refuse to ever get close to anything like that that resembles holiness or something too extreme or legalistic. And I'm not going to let my kids do it either. And that fear of the past, that fear dominates every decision you make, even in your child and child rearing. And it leads you away from the true holiness of God, because God is a God of holiness. Amen. There's a reason he speaks of the things through the prophet. It's because he's calling out a holy people unto himself. Amen. There's a reason that he talks about women's dress and things like that. I'll probably not get to it today, but I've got some wonderful quotes that bring the balance on that. Because did you know that Brother Branham, when he referred to the scripture, I'm going to try to preach this little sermon in about 2 minutes here. Because this one right here is just 2 minutes long. But this is important. Because if we're going to seek the kingdom, we have to know what the kingdom really is. And Paul mentioned an issue back in his day about the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And the reason he said it, because there was issues in that day about some Christians that felt uncomfortable eating meat sacrificed to idol and going to the market. And so these meats, a lot of the meats that you bought were already things when they killed the animal, it was a part of a worship to a god. So when they went to the market, even though they didn't see the worship, they knew that when it was killed, it was under worship. So new Christians felt uncomfortable because they came from the world. Jews felt uncomfortable eating something sacrificed to idols. But there were some other believers that came in the church that said, that's not an issue with me. It's not a big deal. I got faith. I pray over the thing. I'm fine. And then Paul says, just make sure your attitude doesn't get to the place that I'm eating it. I don't care if I offend anybody. I'm eating my steak and I don't care. And Paul's saying, you're just as bad in your attitude as all the rest. But it was an issue in that day. And did you know that Brother Branham referred to something that's an issue of discussion? And that's a woman's dress and what she wears and what's appropriate. I would like to have a penny or a dime, make myself a little richer. I'd like to have a dime for every conversation that's happened in the message the last 50 years over women's dress. I'd be a rich man. It is an issue. Did you know, Brother Branham, when he referred to that scripture, he says we try to make things clothes and different things. He says the kingdom of God is meat and not meat and drink and wearing of apparel. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom. And there are things that God gives us as principles that are protections and things that we live in this life. Protections against the sexual temptation and perversions. Can you say amen? Protections to keep the male and female separate an entity, a separate, where the world's trying to bring them back together. Can you say amen? A lot in the message about that. A lot in the message about separation. People balk at it, but don't balk at it. It's God's love to us, amen, speaking through a prophet, giving women back their dignity again. Amen. I don't know why people see it as something that's a bondage. When it's not bondage, it's freedom. Amen. It's bringing you back to your position again, dear sister. And so he says, but the kingdom of God, that's not the kingdom of God. There are things that we live here in our life that we won't need when we get to the other side. And then there are things of the kingdom that are getting within ourselves now that we will need on the other side. Because in the millennium, before we have a kingdom of a millennium, we have to have a people that's ready and the character to rule and reign in the millennium. Those things he's building in us now by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? But the dress issue won't be an issue over there. That, Brother Bram says, has nothing to do with the kingdom. So he said, I got two or three quotes that say it. He says, and the holiness people, he said, oh, I'm better. I put my sleeves down all the way to here. And then he says, this sister, well, I don't cut my hair. And he goes on to say, that has nothing to do with the kingdom. Brother Bram said, you can get a pride about that. You think you're making the rapture because you have long hair? And Brother Bram says, if that were the case, first of all, we wouldn't need Calvary for sin. He would have just made a dress code and a pattern of what we're supposed to wear, and that would get us in the kingdom. And Brother Branham says, I'm quoting Brother Branham here. He says, no, if that would have been the case, he just made a nice pattern for everybody, and we all make it in the rapture because of what we're wearing. You don't make it in the rapture because of what you're wearing. Why are you saying this, Brother Paul? Because people in the message make that the kingdom, and when they do, they miss the real kingdom. They miss what this message is all about. Can I get a witness, anybody? Amen. So that was my, turned out to be a 4-minute sermon, but that's that. Praise the Lord. So now, I have to move on here. Can't raise our children by fear. Can't be motivated by dominant thoughts of fear. Can you say amen? We can't do anything with the motivation of fear. But God gives us, in this scripture, the key for us to escape this Gentile mentality of the dominant thoughts of fear about tomorrow, what we wear, what we do. And he encourages us to let another thought dominate. Let another thing dominate. And I believe that this is the key that God has given us to living with no fear of tomorrow. And here's the key. It's just simply, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm telling you that he gives you the key that you don't live in fear. Because the whole chapter is about you living in fear of tomorrow. And he gives us the key is that if your life was seeking first the kingdom of God, when you're doing that, you're not living in fear of everything else. Could it be that he gives us a simple key that every day I want to know, Lord, I want to be seeking the kingdom of God. I want to be looking at the kingdom of God. I'm going to be reading the word of God. I'm going to be staying and I'm going to let that dominate my thoughts. And when that's dominating our thoughts and something pops up, it's easier to just purge that thought and let it go by the wayside. And some things you can't let go by the wayside. Some things you got to pray out. But when you're seeking the kingdom, that's what you do. You take that before the throne of God. You don't take 5 days and lose sleep over it for 5 days. You don't do that. You have a throne of God to go to. You have a God to go to. You have a kingdom here, can you say amen? And that kingdom is greater, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's something stronger than your mistakes. There's something stronger than your problems. There's a kingdom that's stronger than the kingdom of this world. And when you're seeking that, I believe it has a power to it to dispel your fears. If you live in fear, you're not... Let me just say it. If you're living in fear, you're not seeking the kingdom first. If you're living in fear, you must not be seeking the kingdom first. Because if you're seeking the kingdom first, there's a power over our... There's a peace that goes with it. That becomes our dominant thinking life. There's peace when you seek it. The promise that he adds, the rest. You're holding on to that promise. So that fear is there. That thing of tomorrow is there. But when you're seeking the kingdom, then the promises he adds to it is that when you're seeking the kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be taken care of. You got a God that's very mindful of that thing. And so now he says, trust me. And all these things will be worked out. All these things will be added to you. All these things will be provided when you're seeking first the kingdom of God. It'll work out. Not because you're worried about it. I think there's some Christians who think that they're going to get a reward on the other side for figuring everything out in their mind and losing sleep over stuff. They feel like there's an extra special reward that's going to come with it when we get on the other side. You know, Brother Bram says he come down that dream or vision he's had, and they're receiving their rewards and walking up. William Branham Orman Neville, he comes up, and both his wives slip their hands in his arm, and they walk up together, Hope and Meaty, and they receive their rewards. And so, you know, there's a reward day, but you will not get one. I'm just going to inform you. You will not get one for living in fear and trying to figure everything out. It's not going to be say, come forward, Barry Coffey. Stan, here's your reward for preaching and all that, but here's an extra special bonus. Because you lost 300 and some nights of sleep worrying about things. So here's an extra special trophy for you. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. God doesn't want us to live there. We have a place to take it. Take your burdens to the Lord. And what's the rest? And leave them there. Only Christians have that place to go to. We have a place. We have an altar. We have a place to bring our burdens, to bring our worries, to bring our cares. He doesn't say, take your burden to the Lord and take him back home with you. He doesn't say that. It says, leave them with him. Cast all your cares and worries upon him. Amen. Well, I don't want to overburden him. Overburden him? He's God. Amen. He's not going to lose sleep over it, I guarantee you. Amen. He's God. He's not you. Can you say amen? He's God. He can handle it. Amen. There isn't anything that's too... You're not going to surprise God. Can you say amen? Amen. Did it ever occur to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to stare. I've dumped so much on him for years. I just don't feel like dumping any more on him. I better help take care of this one myself. I know he's overwhelmed with me, particularly me, because I've got years of this stuff, Brother Paul. Just like, here I go with another family problem, and I think I'll take care of this one myself. I think I'll lose sleep over it, and maybe I can think the whole thing through. And I got an email a couple days ago, and just overthinking stuff. I say, you're overthinking it. You're trying to think the whole process through the stuff that hasn't even happened yet. Okay, tomorrow, if that happens, and then the next day if that goes on, and then, you know, 5 years from now, if that goes that way, 5 years, oh my goodness. You're not going to get a reward for it. And this, my children, which way are they going to go? And they're going this way. Oh, no. Where's this going to turn out? Well, it's not up to you to figure out how it's going to turn out. Preaching to myself, too. Praise the Lord. Well, let's try to go on to here. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So there's a peace that comes from seeking his kingdom first. And he adds all these things unto us. So we throw ourselves into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? It's a good New Year's resolution for all of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come closer to his kingdom. Not this earth, but put him first. He comes first. The word comes first. The kingdom comes first above all things. And when we are doing that, it ought to show up in our lives. It'll show up in the things we do. What's first in our lives will show up in our lives. Can you say amen? Shows up in our pocketbook. It shows up in paying tithes. The whole principle of tithes is putting him first. He gets the right off the top. Can you say amen? But a lot of people, message believers, are just as faithful to give him that tithe as anything else. But they're not putting God first in everything else in their life. So you've missed the principle of tithing, can you say, man? And that He comes first. He gets the dominant thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so we want to move on with the Lord that way. So it's really important that we look at what the kingdom is now and know what you're reaching for, because someone might leave the service today and they might go quit their job and say, what are you doing? Well, I'm going overseas because Brother Paul preached seek the kingdom first, and so I'm quitting my job tomorrow. How many would like to quit your job tomorrow? Thank you for honest people. But sometimes when you preach in the message, seek ye first the kingdom, put Him first, they're going to quit their job tomorrow and they're going to go overseas on a trip. And so I want to make the distinction. It's not that you're doing things for the kingdom when you're seeking the kingdom. Because a lot of people think, I need to do something for the kingdom. And doing something for the kingdom is great. I believe that's the best service you can give to God. If you can find your place in the body, something you can do, no matter how small or great, you need to do that. Amen. Do something to further the kingdom, even if it's praying for Brother Barry and praying for the ones who are out on the front lines doing things. Pray for them, and you're just as much a part. Supporting it financially, you're just as much a part. Brother Bram says, when the rewards are given out and all these other things, he says, you'll have a part in that soul that preacher brought to the Lord. You'll have a part in it. So do something for the kingdom. I can't think of a better service. But what I'm preaching on is not doing something for the kingdom when I say, seek the kingdom. That's not doing something for the kingdom, but it's recognizing and understanding what the kingdom is. Can you say amen? The character of God, the Word of God coming in you. And that's the thing we're seeking all the time. Amen. Not what we do for the kingdom as such, but we should be thinking about what it is and seeking what it really is. And I believe it's a real personal revival within yourselves. I believe it's the character of God coming from the Word that is something that's changing you. Can you say amen? And so now when we speak of the kingdom, He's building a kingdom people for a millennium kingdom on this earth. And He's doing that right now. His kingdom has come to us. But the reason it has come to us is not just that we have a prophet that displayed the kingdom of God and the healings and all these things and brought the word to us. But the reason that He brought it, it's supposed to have a final resting place in the hearts of the people. This kingdom, that's why Jesus said one day, He says, don't say lo here, lo there. Don't look when they're saying, where's the kingdom? It's not a physical place. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's the final result of the message of the hour is this kingdom in His people? And is it manifesting the character of that kingdom people for the millennium? That's what it is. I don't mind seeking that. I need more of it. Can you say amen? When Brother Bram speaks in the future home, he mentioned these things and he says, potentially, the kingdom of God is in the earth now, in the hearts of His saints. And in this message, he uses the word delegate or a delegation. A delegate is a representative sent from a nation. And when we see a conference held or something in the world, you see delegates from all the nations. Those delegates, they look like, they act like, they talk like the kingdom and the nation that they're from because they're a delegate of that kingdom. They look and act and talk and speak the language of their nation, representing that nation. They're not from where the conference is. They're from another nation. And so they're delegates for it. And they usually talk about the way things are at home. And that's what we should be doing, friends, to our children. Can you say amen? That's what should be in our conversation, is that we don't do things like the world. We're from a different place. This is how we talk. We talk faith. Can you say amen? This is how we dress. This is how we are. This is how we function. We forgive those who have done us wrong by the grace of God. This is how we function in the kingdom. Somebody does us wrong in the church, we release that to the Lord and forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing there. We release it right away. Why? That's kingdom character. And when you see in the message churches, and I'm direct to message churches, that's not happening. Somebody is getting away from what the message was really meant to be. They got the eagle belt buckle. They got all the message books. And they got all the arrogance that goes with it. Can you say amen? They can't forgive anybody. They're right and everybody else is wrong. They're bitter, they're gossipers and everything else. And listen, I've been around this a long time. I've studied the message enough to realize, I'm not boasting, but I'm saying, I know what this kingdom is and what kind of people it's supposed to produce. And when I see that kind of message type of thing going on, that arrogance and pride, I'm completely dissatisfied and I'm completely unimpressed. It doesn't make me sit up and take notes because you got an eagle belt buckle. But somebody who truly from their hearts releases something and forgives and repents when they've done wrong and quickly reconciles, because as we learned from the men's meeting, Tim Dodd was preaching so wonderful that repentance, reconciliation is not just repentance and forgiveness. Reconciliation is beyond forgiveness and repentance.
That's right. Amen.
And when you see a group of people not just saying, I'm sorry, but they're wanting to reconcile with a brother and sister, reconcile and bring the relationship back again. Now we're talking a kingdom people. Praise the Lord. So he mentions these delegates. And parents should say this to their kids. Your daddy and mommy, we're delegates from a completely different kingdom. And be sure of that. Can you say amen? And we do things this way in our home because we are not from here. We don't have all these things in our home because that's why everybody else does things in the world. But we're not from here. And you're going to have teenagers that don't like that a little bit because they don't like to be aliens and weirdos. It's hard for them to have this type of thing. But the way you present it to them is very important. That it's not a drudgery. It's not a shame to be delegates for this other kingdom. It's a privilege. It's a joy. Because you can tell your kids, they can party and they can do life the way that they want to, but that is coming to an end someday. An abrupt end. Can you say amen? No more parties. No more life as they knew it. Life as they knew it will be over and done. And when all this is just a faded memory, what we have in our hearts will continue on for eternity. Can you say amen? That's the way to teach your kids. I've had to tell my boys and my girls, listen, they say, well, we're trying to do it, Daddy, because this, you know, this is your standard. I said, no, this is not my standard. This is God's standard. This is the message of the hour. God breathed upon us His standards. Because when the enemy rushes in, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against it. This isn't Daddy's doctrine. This isn't Daddy's religion. This comes from God. You fight against it, you're fighting yourself against God. And you'll find that out someday. But you see now, as delegates, he said, potentially the kingdom of God is here in the earth now, in the hearts of his saints. It's his attributes that he began in the beginning. Now his attributes is redeemed. What's he waiting? To redeem the earth, to set his attributes on it, to fulfill exactly his predestinated plan. Do you see it? Notice, here he's describing this now in the millennium. No graves, no teardrops, never. No more bloodshed. She'll never be moistened by a teardrop or blood. No, no more wars. No clouds of winter. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm from the north. When I read that, I shouted. Praise the Lord. No more clouds of winter. I'm holding on to that promise. No cold snow upon the breast of her. Won't lay there no more on it. The hot sun will never burn its grass anymore. Hallelujah. Even the desert shall bring forth roses. That isn't now the old sticky desert will blossom one day like a rose. When she's redeemed, when she takes her fire baptism, there's all kinds of cactuses and stickers and everything now. But she's got a fire baptism coming. You listening? Like a man was, and he still had hatred, malice, and strife in him. When the fire baptism comes, it cleans it off. You're starting to see the kingdom? The old sticky nature, number one. But all that grub on the inside, all that bitterness, all that hatred, and all that discontent, and just that stuff. The fires of the Holy Spirit through the kingdom burn that stuff out of our system. Now, if you don't believe that the Holy Spirit's doing that, then you don't believe in a millennium. Because it's the same holy fire that you're under even in this service this morning. And if you'll yield yourself the same holy fire that'll burn this earth and make the desert get rid of its stickiness and blossom into roses is the same baptism of fire that's preaching to you here this morning.
Amen.
To burn out all the stuff that's bad, to burn out all the ugly stuff. And he goes on to say, as we end this, he says, hatred and malice and strife in him, when the fire comes down, it cleans it off. No more jealousy, no more of nothing. It's just absolutely the dwelling place for God. And remember, listen to this, that's his delegation that's going to meet him over yonder. That's his delegation. Now, if you say you're a delegate this morning, say, wait, that's his delegation. This kind of life, this kind of thing is the kingdom of God. How many believe that?
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart. So let's find just to just switch gears just a little bit before we find a place to close here. Brother Jewel, you know, I start to feel like him. Like he calls himself the helicopter. You know, just up and then down. He gave me his business card last night. It's got a helicopter on it. I mean, that would make people, if you hand a card like that, that'd make you want to get him to preach. What's the helicopter mean? Here's a few scriptures for you. I want you to understand something here. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him," verse 20, "that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So there's two scriptures that say the love of God that goes, that passeth knowledge, he's able to do above what we ask or think. So go back to this thinking now, that we cannot let other things dominate our thoughts. And if we don't let it do that, we have to realize that there's something in the core of God now that can go beyond and should go beyond our thinking. The love of Christ will passes knowledge. Well, you need to understand, if we have something we have access to that passes our knowledge and passes what we can think things through, then we realize that power is there. And so there's something greater than your thinking things through. And that's his thoughts. That's his way of thinking. And then he says it's above what we could ask or think. Philippians 4 says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be worried about anything. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding." Am I hearing that right? That we have something in God that passes what we can think about it, that passes our knowledge, and that means you really can't figure this out. Because he gives us something that passes our knowledge, passes what we can think out. This is something greater than you thinking it out. The peace of God that passes. How many would want access to a peace of God like that? That goes beyond our thinking, goes beyond our understanding. That's quite a peace. It says in Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Can you say amen?
Amen.
News flash. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So when I talk about seeking His kingdom, then we're seeking something that has such power in it that it would dominate our thoughts, and it's higher than our thinking of what we can figure out and conclude about anything. I would be careful to not conclude in your own mind about anything, but wait on the Lord and let God conclude on the matter.
Amen.
Because His thoughts are better and higher than your thoughts.
Amen.
How much have we functioned in the kingdom of God or in around the saints of God for years in the message? And you always ask the question, how much of this is man's own thinking? Or God's thoughts dominating the people? Because when God's thoughts are dominating the people, you're going to see some real kingdom of God taking place. But how much of it has been man's and preachers' own thinking that are labeled, this is God. And I say, if it brings the fruits of carnality, if it brings the fruits of idolatry, if it brings the fruits of adultery, if it brings the fruits of division, then there's some other thoughts injected in there, because that's not the kingdom character that comes from God's thoughts. Praise the Lord. So that's his delegation that's going to meet him over yonder. That's his delegation. You say it this morning. I am his delegation. I am his delegation from this other kingdom that's come. I'm the delegate. And so everything that's going to be there, I want in me. I already have it in me. But let it burn out all the jealousy. Let it burn out all the ugly stuff. And that's when I become a delegate representing where we're going. You know, we rub shoulders with hundreds of people every day that will never get to see the millennium. Except seeing it in you. This is the only time they'll ever see it. Your love, your respect, your forgiveness, your repentance, your honesty, your character of Christ. It's the only time they'll get a glimpse of where we're going. Can you say amen? Amen. And we're going, friends. We're going. Brother Keith, I enjoyed that song. What was the name of it again? I'll Live Again. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. We have a great place that we're going to. So if God says that my thoughts are above your thoughts, there's something greater. There's something bigger than us. And this shows his great majesty. You know, when you're out in the nature, and I've developed more of an appreciation for nature. When I was a young Christian, and Brother Bram would say, "I see God everywhere in nature and stuff." I'm a city boy, really, and I never related to that too much. But as I grew in the Lord, now I would rather be out there than in the city. God's changed me. Matter of fact, that song Shalom I wrote in the Smoky Mountains a couple years ago. By myself in the Smoky Mountains. I love it there. I think I want to die there. I want my ashes to be... I want my wife to go out and just get out there on the very top and just spread my ashes in the Smoky Mountains. I would start a church up there if I could. Nope. That was my daughter laughing there. I don't think I'd have anybody come up there to my church, but it doesn't matter. I can be by myself. I've developed this appreciation. Now I see God in nature. I see God. A few weeks ago, I was there in the men's meeting and went up for a few hours by the water coming down the rapids. And you just get so much out of it. But one thing that we learn in nature is that in the animals and the whole kingdom of nature, they, as Jesus said in Matthew 5 here, they are completely dependent upon a force that's greater than themselves. I know that's simple this morning, and you already knew that, a lot of you. But I'm just coming into these things. All of them are completely dependent on a force greater than themselves. And they have no other thing that can help them except a higher force that takes care of them. They not toil or spin and how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? There's a higher power that all of them and all of us creatures, human creatures, because we're so bent on our own minds, we have to learn this through time. We got the mind. We got the soul. Animals don't have a soul, but we got the soul. And so now we get creative. We're going to do our own thing and our minds get all proud and we're going to figure it all. And every time we go that direction, we get away from God and get away from dependence on God. And we forget that, you know what? God just wants us to do like the animals and just lay back and be led by Him. And rest what's going to happen tomorrow. That He'll provide for you. Peace, can you say amen? They're dependent on God. They live dependent on God. And the animals have Brother Ben says, a God-given instinct in them, when we know that. They live from that instinct that God gave them. Can you say amen? All these instincts, the ducks, why do they fly south and not west? They work by instinct. They get in that flow of who they are. You know, there's something that leads them south. Can you say amen? instead of north in the winter. It's instinct. And they just flow with that instinct. And also following that instinct, there's a protection that goes with it. And God watches over them. Nature does not learn to be dependent on something greater than themselves. They've always done that. It's we humans that have to learn that. Because we get away from Him. And we get everything figured out. So we're on our way back from a long journey of human beings not dependent on God. But believers learning and to become what it really means to become totally dependent on God's thoughts instead of our own thoughts. And learning how to lean on Him. Not to worry, but really trust Him every day and rest. And I'll end on this. You know, Brother Bram says in this quote, he says it now. You know, I was telling the boys a while ago coming over here, I said how that we must be happy all the time. God don't want us to be sad. You know what ill temper does? That old temper? That's one of the awfulest old things. And it's about 60% of the cause of all sickness is a temper. Yes, sir. Those tantrums and you fly loose. Remember, you're just developing a cancer. An ulcer. Or something like that when you do that. When you get all stewed up about somebody. I won't go back there anymore. Wait till I give them a piece of my mind. And that's really what it is. It's just a little piece. I added that part. Wait till I give them a piece of my mind. Wait till I weigh in and all the church decisions. And all. I won't go back to that church anymore. I'm offended. Brother Bram's warning you. Better not go that direction. Because it ain't the pastor that's going to pay for that kind of attitude. It's not the people of the congregation that's going to pay. You're going to pay for that. You're way off track. You're way off base there. And you always pay for it in greater ways. Remember, you're the one that's going to pay for it, Brother Bram says. Just keep happy. And there was a little story that said there was a little robin one morning sitting on a limb whistling over to his mate. The little mate flew down by him and said, you know, I'm so worried this morning about one thing. Said, what? Say, the other robin said, we robins don't worry. But I just wonder if those poor creatures, the human beings that frown on their faces, they walk. I wonder, this is a robin talking to the other robin, I wonder maybe if they haven't got a heavenly Father that watches over them like we have, like us robins. Brother Brandon, this is just so perfect. And actually, when you read this, you actually wonder if this there'd be some truth to this. That this animal kingdom looks at us sometimes and rolls their eyes. You just wonder, you know. I guess we'll find out someday, but you know, this is just a story. But you just wonder because they know what to be dependent on. They know that they shouldn't worry. They're dependent on a Heavenly Father to take care of them. And they watch us. And I wonder if they have a Heavenly Father that watches over them like this. That's about it. You never heard of one of those robins having high blood pressure. There ain't none of them on high blood pressure medicine. Never heard of any of them having high blood pressure. Did you know or no? You don't hear no ambulances ringing around them. And they're putting them in the robin ambulance and they're rushing them to the hospital. You don't hear sirens around them. You don't hear all this going on. There's no ambulance ringing for them. And they live in God's true provided way. It's always us that makes things wrong. We're the ones, we know science, Brother Bram says, you know. We're the smart folks. But we're also the ones with the sirens and the high blood pressure and the sicknesses and the ailments and the cancers. Can you say amen? And I'm not saying in every case that the temper causes cancer. Could be a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes genetics. We don't fear cancer whatsoever. We have a God to go through with. We have a God to go to for that. We've seen it healed over and over again. Can you say amen? But we've got to acknowledge the fact that these things can bring us to a state that we're not dependent on God anymore. And these tempers and these things have a result sometimes in us physically and emotionally. And I'm just here to tell you, Christ does not want us to live every day like that. Amen. Just say this. This message might be simple as dirt to you this morning. It's kind of my way. I study sometimes. I got to get something real. You know, this is Brother Barry's church. I got to, get something real deep, you know. And the Lord sometimes just leaves you, no, no, you preach that. But Lord, it's too simple.
Come on.
And yet, if there's something that's ministering to me,
amen,
and it's convicting me, and I say, I need to hear that again. And I say, okay, I'm going with it, because if I need to hear it, probably there's probably two or three people that will be there this morning that need to hear it too. Praise the Lord. You love Him? And so I would end this by saying this morning that when we see, I'm just trying to find a little spot here. When we see true forgiveness, Brother Bram said here, when the Holy Ghost, you know, does a work, and he's in that line of thought, and he says, seemingly the birds sing different, and how different it is when Christ comes in. And you say, how did I ever stay away from it? How did I ever reject? Everything's different. You have no enemies. They all look sweet. You can forgive everything that's been done to you. The bitterest of enemy, you could pray for him on the street and put your arm around him and lift him up. No matter what creed or what denomination he belongs to, he's a creature who Christ died for. And you can pray for him. And that's what God wants you filled with. That's the filling. That's the kingdom. When there's true forgiveness in a congregation, when there's true repentance, and I mean true, genuine, when there's genuine love from our hearts, when there's reconciliation going on, when there's building relationships instead of destroying them, when the walls are down, when there's a loving Holy Ghost working amongst the people, and we're acknowledging and being positive about what He's doing instead of speaking of the negative, when we're wanting to be around that rather than becoming distant and throwing our life to something that's carnal and distancing ourselves from the body of Christ, and we want to be around what the Holy Ghost is doing, I believe that's when we're really seeking the kingdom of God. Paul said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He told us what the kingdom is. I can take some of that joy. I can take some of that peace. Can you say amen? I can handle that in my life. If that's the kingdom, I want it. I want to seek it. And I want my thoughts to be centered and focused on those things rather than the negative and rather than the fear of what may happen tomorrow. The truth is, friends, you've got the most exciting future of any people on the face of the earth. Your future is pretty bright. And your future is so bright, you got to wear sunglasses. Your future is bright. The bride has a future. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about tomorrow. I don't know when the rapture will be, but you've when the rest of the people of the earth, they don't have a future. They don't have a true future. But you, you're the people, you've got something to look forward to. You've got a sure future. And it's something that brings joy. It's something that brings rest and peace. Something that brings shalom. Come, Mike, I'm going to sing that again. Get on the piano. It brings true shalom. Can you say amen? And in the shalom message, Brother Brennan is bringing that. That's not just some little message. That's an announcement to the bride. You've come to this word. You've come to the kingdom. Can you say amen? You've come to this word, which is His kingdom. And what do I say to you, bride? Shalom. He says 1964 is coming. He says, do I fear tomorrow? I don't fear tomorrow. I don't fear what's coming. Only message I have is shalom. Good morning, bride. Peace. Can you say amen? We're resting. Well, what about my children? Are they going to come to the Lord? What about this? What about that? And don't try to figure it out. Just rest in this peace of the Holy Ghost and say, God, you know the desires of my heart. You know that child is wayward. You know their heart and where they're at right now. I'm going to release it to you. And enjoy the peace of God. It passes anything that I can figure out. Let's stand together. Musicians can come. Dear G.
Shalom. Shalom.
60. For behold, the darkness upon all the earth, and gross darkness on the people, but the Lord shall arise on thee, he's risen on thee, shall arise and shine. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, for thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, is risen upon thee, risen on thee. Shalom. Pray with you this morning. Would you lay your hands on one another? Just still notice some, maybe some worry in your eyes still. Just want to encourage you to speak to the Lord and release that to Him. Release that to Him. And the peace of God passes all understanding. He has the answer. You raise your hand this morning. Say, I've been under a lot of stress lately. A lot of stress. Overabundance of stress. I'm really, really feeling it. I just encourage you to release it to the Lord this morning. Just give it to Him. Take your burden to the Lord. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Let's pray for one another. Lift your voice. Pray for one. Pray for your families. Pray for your wife. Bring unity in the family. Bring unity in the home. Heavenly Father, we just approach your throne. You said to be careful for nothing, to don't be worried about anything, but to bring every request and supplication to you. Whether it's domestic trouble or there's no peace in the home, no peace in the mind, whatever it is this morning, we bring it before you. Let our requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes understanding shall comfort your hearts and give you that peace. I believe there's some lives this morning that need shalom. They need peace. They need the shalom of this message. Our Father, minister to them this morning. May they get a trust back in you to release it back to you. Whatever trouble is there, Lord, they bring it to you and release, give it to you. Casting their cares upon you, Lord. You can handle it. You understand. You can handle it better than us, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would dissolve the seeds of doubt in the minds of the people. May they purge all other thoughts except your thoughts, Lord. And give them a care and a strength, Lord, within them they've never had before. Strengthen these families. Strengthen these single moms. Strengthen these lives. Strengthen the teenagers here this morning. They have a hard road. They have a hard place in this world. It's difficult days every day. Give them the strength of the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord. Minister strength to their hearts. God, let them know that You are their hiding place. You're their release, Lord. Strengthen Your body, Lord. May we come together in unity to finish Your work and to see this kingdom manifested here in this little church and around the world. We commit to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away.
I give myself away so you can use me. I said, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Learning to lead, I'm learning to lead. I'm
the Lord. Isn't God good? Just been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I love that kind of ministry. I love that kind of ministry that just speaks to your heart. And you can understand it. And you know what? If you can understand it, you can go home and apply it. You'll go home and be a doer of the word. And that's what we're called to be. Not just good hearers, but to be good doers. And that's what God wants out of our efforts. And I believe when you go home and apply the Word of God, you're living for the kingdom. Jesus did not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and do all you can. He just did not say that. And our entry into glory is never dependent upon your works. It's never dependent upon your conduct or your works. That's taken care of by election. Right? We are predestinated. But I'll tell you what, if you know you're predestinated, the kingdom of God, it comes into focus now, because that is who we are. That's where we're going. And this is who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm a representative of the kingdom. therefore I'm going to do everything I can to influence whoever I can to that same kingdom. Because that's where everyone would want to go. I'll guarantee you. I've enjoyed the word of the Lord this morning and enjoyed our weekend. Appreciate having the LaFontaines here. And may the Lord richly bless you and get you back home safely. And appreciate Brother Paul and Sister Rebecca and all of you for coming today. And Abel, I felt bad. I didn't mean to give you a hard time. We're just honored to have you with us today. We're just longing for a fellowship hall before we get to that great fellowship hall over there. Abel, we love you and appreciate you, buddy, and glad to have you with us today. Let's sing that little chorus, "I Worship You, Almighty God," and we're going to close in prayer this morning and let you go. And as we close in prayer this morning, we want to remember Brother Luther. He's not feeling very well today, and so we'll have a special prayer for him. Let's sing.
Worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship, O Prince of Peace. That is one
have a couple of brothers lay hands on Luther over there. Alan, Jeff, Mark, if you will, Brother Smith. Lay your hands over on Brother Luther there. Now for the rest of you, if you got one worry, one thing you're worried about, one thing that you would like to give to God, if Jesus walked in here in a human body and you could sit down and have 5 minutes with him and you could give him one thing, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and just say, "Lord, I give you this morning." Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because we believe you know just how to speak to us. You just know the words to say and how to take somebody, Lord, who doesn't know what we're going through and just to place the words on his heart that across his lips might come something that inspires us and helps us to believe, Lord, that you're actually in tune with where we are and the things we're going through. We lift our voices to you this morning in praise and thanksgiving because, Lord Jesus, you're a God of answers. You're a God of who answers prayer. You're a God who knows exactly the struggles of our heart. And, Lord, you have solutions. You have abundant solutions for everything we go through. You are a healer. You are a comforter. You are a husband. You are our joy and our peace, Lord. You are our Savior. You are everything to us, and we thank you for that. We give you honor and praise and glory this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you're able, even through our prayers, Lord, and our faith today, as we lift our voices to you, Lord, you're able to allow your healing virtue to flow to those that are here and those that are listening today, those that are hurting, Lord, among us. And Father, all across this state and around in the area, Lord, among your bride, there are many, many needs, O God. But there's nothing we could do to overwhelm you. There's no way we could exhaust your goodness, Lord. And so we pray today with confidence and we pray with expectation, Lord, as we bring every concern and every burden to you. We thank you for the word today, Lord, the word that inspires us and speaks to our heart. We thank you, Lord, for this weekend and all it has been to us. And now I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us, I pray, just that kind of expression of character that representatives of the kingdom should have in our lives. And Lord, may we yield to you that you might just express yourself more freely and more perfectly through us. Have your way, we pray, Lord. Bless Brother Paul and Sister Rebecca and all the family. Guide us safely through this week, Lord, we pray, until we meet again. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. As you leave this morning, if you want to stay in worship, we're going to do that a little bit. We're going to sing a little bit. But as you go this morning, give each other a fish bump or an elbow bump or something like that. It's been good to have you all here today, and may God bless you richly. Let's sing it again as we leave today. I worship you Almighty God.
I worship you, Almighty God. Oh, there is none like you. I worship you in some peace. That is one.
just pray.